There used to be two kinds of churches. Historic churches connected to historic denominations, like the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Methodist Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the various national branches of the Orthodox Church, and churches that were not quite as historic, often called free churches or non-denominational churches, like the American Baptist Churches or the Southern Baptist Church. The former have constraints imposed by the denomination's historic teaching, practices, and leaders. The latter are autonomous and can do mostly what they think the Lord would have them do. Change for the former is a challenge. Change for the latter is much easier, though one cannot pretend it's as easy as that. Now, there are three kinds: historic churches, autonomous churches, and autonomous churches picking up what the historic churches have always done and sometimes leaving the world of autonomy for the wisdom of a denomination. At the center of this movement, and Winfield Bevan's research proves that this is no fly-by-night experiment by a few creatives or restoratives, and that this is a genuine growing movement, is the lectionary and liturgy. That is, churches that at one time were part of a movement to get away from all things formal and institutional are now seeing the wisdom of the formal use of the lectionary and the potency of liturgy. While some have abandoned the autonomous world of free churches to join the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church, a far larger number is shifting toward the Anglican Communion. At the heart of this shift is nothing less than the beauty and theological grandeur of the Book of Common Prayer, whose words, Alan Jacobs tells us, are to be living words in the mouths of those who have a living faith, which has been the knock on all lectionary and liturgy-driven churches. That is, routine, rote, rut-sunk recitations of ancient words can deaden and have deadened many, and many in the free church traditions continue to make that claim. I am not one, and neither is Winfield. I grew up in an autonomous church loosely connected to the conservative Baptists, and I had no reason to break loose and join the Presbyterians or the Methodists or the Episcopals in my hometown. When Chris and I and our two children, Laura and Lucas, moved to Nottingham, England, we were invited to attend St. Peter's Church, Toughton, with a curate named John Corey. We had never used the Book of Common Prayer. But on the very first Sunday, along with wondering why the music didn't have notes and worrying about when to stand or sit, I heard for the first time the words of the collects, those weekly prayers recited often from rote memory. My born-again past met the living faith of living words in the collects, and I was overwhelmed, and have been ever since. I am an Anglican deacon today, canon theologian to Bishop Todd Hunter in the C4SO Diocese, which is one group in the Anglican Church of North America, a denomination with a historic past. And I am so largely because the worship, ordered by the Book of Common Prayer, affirms in me what I most believe about what Sunday worship and daily prayer ought to be: sacred words for sacred moments, for a sacred people gathered for a sacred purpose. This ordered worship in the Book of Common Prayer is not magical, and without faith, the words deaden. What I have witnessed in the last few decades, and one cannot minimize the impact of John Stott, J.I. Packer, Robert Weber, and the scores of Wheaton students who became Anglican and have become leaders in the American evangelical scene.